Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Father, we do. We just speak the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name. We thank you that you are here with us right now, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Where your presence is, there is fullness of joy. And no matter what we are walking through or going through this morning, Jesus, we have you, and you are enough. I thank you for joy and peace, God. I thank you for your presence that is here. We give you this time, and we give you our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and we say amen and amen, amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Terry Hill, and I am the Next Steps pastor here. Thank you. Remind me to pay you guys later. But I am so glad to be here. I am so glad to share the word that God has given me for all of us today. Did you know every single morning when we wake up, we all have a lot of different decisions to make, right? And we have a lot of different paths that we're gonna go down on any given day. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just don't like to wake up. How many of you like to wake up in the morning, you know? Well, sometimes when we wake up, right, we are barely making it out to that coffee maker. Some of us are waking up to crying children, and others of us have not slept the night before because of those crying children. You know, here at Wellspring, we do have coffee in the lobby, so please go ahead. If you need 3 or 4 cups, we understand, right? Some of us wake up and we're heading out for our morning runs, or we're heading out to meet friends for pickleball. Regardless of how we wake up, we all have decisions to make and paths that we're going to walk down. Did you know that we could make over 35,000 decisions in a day? Just think about that. No wonder when we get home at night, we're tired, right? You're like, if I have one more decision to make. And with those 35,000 decisions, we have a breakdown of what those could look like for us in any given day. We have conscious decisions, hundreds of thousands of those, concerning what to eat, right? We have unconscious decisions, tens of thousands of those. And then get this one. We could make over 200 food-related decisions. That's right. Like, food is always on your mind. You know, you're making decisions about what to eat today. You've got your grocery list for next week. You've got an event coming. I mean, you're always making some kind of decision, right, about food. And, you know, today is Father's Day. So if you happen to make a decision to have brisket at lunch today, go ahead, you can let me know, and I'll be happy to make a decision to join you guys, right, for some brisket, okay? All right. Well, it is Father's Day, right? And with Father's Day, I am sure that we have made many different decisions leading up to this day. You know, different plans, activities, moments with family. But for some of us, our emotions might have looked a little bit different today due to pain or loss or separation. And your decisions might have looked different. And you know, here at Wellspring, we're very aware of what this day can bring for everyone. And we just want you to know that we have been praying for you for this day. You know, in making decisions, I read about a man who in his 40s, he lost his sight. Now this man, he loved to go hiking. He was an avid hiker. He would wake up every morning, put on his hiking boots, and he would go out to the trails. Well, unfortunately, he had lost his sight, and he could no longer hike. And so one day, he heard about a trail in Vermont. Now, someone had decided to make a trail for the visually impaired. And this man was so excited because he had become so hopeless. He had become depressed, because hiking was so important in his life. And what is very unique about this trail is that they would take wooden posts and they would put them every so often apart. And in between the posts were rope guides. And on the post were braille signs. And on the braille signs was information about the path ahead, what they could look out for, and how they could take their next steps. So that man went out to Vermont, and he went on his first solo hike. And this is what he had to say about his hike. He said, I couldn't walk fast. I had to pay attention to every step. But for the first time in years, I wasn't afraid of falling or getting lost. See, someone had gone ahead of me and marked a sure way. You know, for that man on that day, he had to give careful thought right to the rope guides. He had to give careful thought to the braille signs and careful thought to his steps as he was walking. But as he was going, there was something within him that was coming alive. There was something within him that he was experiencing. For the first time in years, he started to experience possibility, and he started to experience hope. Hope, right? The hope that he could go and he could hike again. You know, this makes me think of a passage of scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs 4, 25 and 26. We have it up here on the screens. It says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all, not just some, not just when you decide, but in all of your ways." You know, I saw this scripture and I'm like, what does it mean for us to give careful thought? Careful thought. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, I just feel like life is busy. Do you guys just feel like sometimes life is just chaotic? Sometimes you have more meetings, more tasks, more things to do than you have time in your day. And what this scripture is doing for all of us is it's giving us an opportunity to breathe. How many of you just need to breathe? Go ahead, right now is a good time. Just take a deep breath, right? Take a deep breath. It's giving us the opportunity to breathe. It's giving us the opportunity to slow down, to begin to pay attention, to begin to give careful thought to the direction of our lives. Because we could look back and we could be like, man, where did this year go? I don't know about you, but this past school year, it ended fast, right? But when we give careful thought to our ways, when we can slow down, when we can breathe, we can actually start to consider the paths that our feet are going down. And you know, we have an enemy, and his name is Satan. And he wants to kill, steal, and destroy in our lives. See, his main goal is to keep us from seeing Jesus, from reading his word, spending time in prayer and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every single morning when we wake up, right, we have something that is very important that we can do. I call it the 10-second window. See, when we wake up in the morning, I don't know about you, but sometimes my mind starts filling up with anxieties and worries and things for the day that I've got to get done. But what if we made the decision before our feet even hit the floor to say, "Good morning, Jesus, I love you"? What if we made the decision to invite Jesus into our day? What if we said, "You know what, Jesus, I've got this meeting coming up. I've got this thing going on with my child, and I don't know what to do. But before my feet even hit the floor, before I even make it out to that coffee maker, I invite you in. I invite your wisdom. I invite your strength. I invite your joy." Because the enemy, right, he wants us to wake up full of anxiety and worry. He wants us to wake up believing lies about ourselves. And if we're not careful, we'll believe the lie and we will start to live out lies. Lies such as we're not good enough. We don't matter, right? Lies of comparison. Lies that I'm a failure or I'm not. Man, I can never achieve what it is that they're wanting me to do. See, because he wants us to get caught up in all of that. And Jesus is saying here, let's have careful thought. Maybe we need to start thinking about the things that we're thinking about, right? Because what we think about will end up being the direction our lives, and it'll end up being the path that we go down. You know, today we're going to talk about a man in the Bible. And this man's story is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Now, this man made many, many decisions in his life. And those decisions had led him to look very successful on the outside. But on the inside, he was broken, he was alone, he was hurting, he was empty, and guess what? He was also hated. He was hated, and I'll tell you why he was hated in a moment. But let's go ahead and let's read his story, and we're going to talk about a man by the name of Zacchaeus today. Did many of you grow up hearing stories of him if you went to church as a kid? Yep. How many of you know that song? Right? Okay, well, let's sing it. Here we go. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to sing it today. All right, but let's go ahead and we will read his story. All right. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in that region, and he had become very rich. Well, one of the first things I see here is that Jesus is on a divine assignment, and the man in the middle of that assignment is a man named Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and as the tax collector, he was involved in a very corrupt practice called tax farming. Now, instead of just charging everyone in Judea and all that region a certain amount for their taxes, he would charge them more than what they owed, and then he would pocket the rest. Zacchaeus was greedy. He did not care about the struggles of the people. He did not care that they didn't know how they were going to put food on the plate for their children. He didn't care about the hardships that he put them through. All he cared about was making money. And so everyone in that town had heard that Jesus was coming. Now, they had heard about his teachings. They had heard about his miracles. Everyone just wanted to see him. They wanted to be around him. And you know, for Zacchaeus, he normally would wake up and make certain decisions, and he would go to bed every night, and he would feel empty, and he would feel alone. But on this day, he woke up. And his thought was, I wonder, is Jesus real? I need to know. Is Jesus real? I need to see him. See, he was desperate to see Jesus. He was desperate to be in his presence. He was empty and he was alone. And he needed something. He needed Jesus. So we see that Zacchaeus, he makes a decision to head out to the crowd. So let's keep going. Verses 3 and 4. So he's in that crowd now, and he's trying to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Now, here's what I see. I see Zacchaeus, and I see that crowd, right? And Zacchaeus has a problem, and his problem is that he is too short. I can see him trying to look, maybe trying to jump up and down, but he is getting frustrated because that crowd is pressing, and that crowd is keeping him from having a clear line of sight. And you know, you guys, if we're not careful, we can have crowds in our own lives that will keep us from seeing Jesus. You know, from the moment we wake up, we have tasks to get done. We have people to see. We've got the demands of work, right? We've got demands of relationships and things going on with our family, right? You've got pressures coming at you. You know, maybe you're in college and you're just trying to figure out what to major in and just the pressure to figure things out. You know, maybe you've got some issues with a family member or a diagnosis and you're just not sure, right, what to do. And those things can come and the worries can come. And it's just, we can get so crowded by the things in life that come at us so fast. I mean, how about social media and all the different apps on our phone? If we're not careful, we could spend time just scrolling. And you know, there's a lot of things that could crowd our minds when we start scrolling, the crowds of comparison. So there are so many things in our own life, right, that can keep us every single day from seeing Jesus. But what I love in this story and what Zacchaeus did, he didn't allow himself on that day to stay stuck in the crowd. He didn't give up. He didn't throw in the towel. But what did he do? He looked up. And when he looked up, he saw that sycamore fig tree off in the distance. And I believe in that moment, he could picture himself running and he could picture himself climbing that tree and having a clear line of sight to Jesus. So you know what? That's what he did. I just picture him racing and he was running through those crowds and he was running like his life depended on it, because his life did depend on it that day. He gets up in the tree and he's exhilarated. He's probably huffing and puffing. He's probably never ran that much in his whole entire life. But all of a sudden, there was something that started stirring in him. There was something he started to experience that he had never experienced before. It was possibility, and it was hope. It was hope. You know, I believe that that tree had been planted and prepared and was prospering with Zacchaeus in mind. And for the first time in his entire life, I believe he had some clarity. I believe he had clarity. You know, we have it up here. But clarity doesn't come when we sit in comfort or when we stay stuck in our crowds. But clarity can come when we climb above the crowd, when we get above the noise, when we can get above the distractions, when we can put our eyes on Jesus, our eyes on Jesus. All right, well, let's keep going. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he calls him by name. He says, "Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Oh, wow, guys, let's not miss the power of this moment. When Jesus looks up at him, he calls him by name. And do you know what his name meant? His name meant pure one, pure one. The exact opposite of the lifestyle and the behaviors that he had been exhibiting. And when Jesus looks up, he's like, pure one, come down. I need to be in your home today. I want to come and sit with you. You know, Jesus wasn't condemning him. Jesus wasn't saying, hey, liar, hey, cheat. No. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was affirming his destiny. He was speaking purpose to him in that moment. He was speaking potential to him in that moment. He was speaking acceptance and hope and love. And you know, Zacchaeus had never experienced those things. Here is Jesus. He just wanted to see him. And now he is calling forth his name. And guess what? Jesus today, he's calling your names. Jesus today, he knows every hair on your head. And he is calling forth purpose and plans and destiny over you today. All right, let's keep going. So Zacchaeus quickly climbs down and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people, they were so displeased. He has gone to be the guest, a notorious sinner, they grumbled. All right, verse 8. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Man, we see Jesus is now in Zacchaeus' home. He's sitting with him, and it is just Jesus and Zacchaeus. See, Jesus had to lead Zacchaeus away from the crowd, right? Away from the noise and away from the distractions so he could speak his life-giving words to Zacchaeus. You know, they probably shared a meal that day, but it wasn't about the meal. It wasn't about the food. They could have been eating chicken nuggets for all it was worth. But in that moment, it was about the life-giving words of freedom, of hope, of love, of acceptance that Jesus was speaking over Zacchaeus. You know, every time we open up the Word of God, every time we lift our hands and surrender and yield to him, every time we can get quiet before him, He has life-giving words that he is wanting to share and speak over us. He created us. We are his sons and we are his daughters, and he loves us. And he has a good plan for us, full of hope and possibility. And every second of the day, we can invite Jesus in. Every second, we can wake up to Jesus and we can share time with him. So we see in that moment that Zacchaeus was in the presence of Jesus, all of a sudden he started experiencing joy. Radical life changed. His old ways, his old patterns, right? Man, he was forgiven and he was set free, because that's what Jesus does. He doesn't condemn us, but he looks at us through the eyes of grace. Zacchaeus experienced grace for the first time in his life. And we see the inward change of Zacchaeus through his outward expressions, right? What did he do? Man, remember, this man was greedy. He didn't care what he did to these people. But all of a sudden, because he got to sit in the presence of Jesus and his heart began to change and open up, man, we see that all of a sudden, we'll just go back for 1 minute, please, that he was wanting to give half of his wealth to the poor. Right? And if he had cheated people on their taxes, he was going to give them back four times as much. You know, guys, Jesus changes everything. He does. He changes everything. All right, let's keep going. So Jesus responded and he said, today, salvation has come to this home. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. You know, this passage of scripture, it ends with that powerful declaration. And that is, for the Son of Man came to seek, right? He is seeking all of us, and to save those who are lost. You know, no one is ever too far gone. No past is ever too messy, right? If you're lost, Jesus is seeking you. And if you're empty today, he wants to fill you. See, on that day, in that tree, and in his house, Zacchaeus felt seen. And I believe he felt seen for the first time in his life. You know, the scripture says that the goodness of the Lord, the goodness of God, will bring us to repentance. And at that table that day, Zacchaeus experienced the goodness of God. Every single morning, we can wake up to the goodness of God. You know, it doesn't matter where we are in our days, right? We could be folding laundries. We could be in a board meeting. We could be at an athletic event. We could be driving in our car, and we can wake up to Jesus. We can wake up to his presence. We can spend time with him, because he is always with us and he is always talking to us. And I love the transformation that Zacchaeus went through due to his need to be seen, right? And the clarity that he got that day with having Jesus speaking to him in his home. You know, guys, every single morning when I wake up, I have my certain routine that I do, and I like to get up and I first go to that coffee maker, right? For me, that's important. And then after that, I'm spending time with Jesus, and my husband and I are talking about our day and praying about certain things in our day together. And then after that, I like to go for a run. And so recently, I had just finished one of my morning runs, and I had done my cool down, and I just felt like I was supposed to go one more time around the block. And typically, I don't. Typically, I give myself just enough time. I'm one of those people, I keep to my time. I typically give myself just enough time to get in and get ready for work. But on that morning, there was something within me that just said, go one more time around the block. And I said, okay, I responded, right? So as I was going around the block, all of a sudden, I looked and I saw two ladies up ahead. And I heard the Holy Spirit tell me to pray for one of them. Now, it wasn't an audible voice, But it was an inward witness. The Holy Spirit speaks. He gives us an inward witness, right? An inward sense of a direction that we're supposed to go in. And that is what I felt. I felt a sense that I was supposed to pray for that lady. So I kept making my way. They kept coming towards me. I was coming right towards them. And I walked up to them. And I said, good morning. I'm like, you guys don't know me, but my name is Terry Hill, and I live in the neighborhood. And I love Jesus. And he just told me to pray for you. And I looked at the lady that he had told me to pray for, and all of a sudden, she just started bursting out in tears. Well, her friend that was with me told me that at 3 a.m. that morning, they had just called in hospice for her husband. Her husband had been sick. He wasn't doing well. They had been up with him all night, and they had just gotten out of the house to breathe, to think, and to have a few minutes to pray. And that lady was speechless. I mean, she could not believe that on that day, in that moment, that our paths would line up, that Jesus would see her, right? And bring me along the path so we could pray together. And I looked at her and I said, this morning, I said, this is all about Jesus. I said, Jesus sees you. He cares about you. He cares about what you're walking through and what you're going through. He sees what you've experienced this morning at 3 a.m. and how your heart is heavy. And he just wants you to know today that he loves you, that he's carrying you, and you are seen by Jesus. So right there in the middle of the road, we all stopped and we prayed together. And when we were done, we hugged, and they went on their way, and then I went and started making my day, getting ready for work. And later on that night, I was out on a bike ride with my girls, and I ran into the friend of the lady that I had prayed for. And she just told me that the whole day that the lady had felt encouraged, that something within her that was broken, all of a sudden she felt full. Because it was hope. Hope knowing that she is not in this alone. Hope knowing that Jesus sees her and he loves her and he cares about her so much to divinely align our paths together. You know, on that path that day, Jesus saw that lady. On Zacchaeus's path that day, right? Jesus saw Zacchaeus. And you know, I have to believe that sitting in here for all of us today and those watching online right now, Jesus sees us. He sees what we're walking through. He sees what we're going through. And he cares about us as we are his sons and as we are his daughters. You know, every Sunday here at Wellspring, we do something at the end of our services. We have a response time. During this time, our prayer team comes down. And we love to have the opportunity to pray for our church family. Pray about what you're going through, to agree with you together about what you're believing God to do in your lives, to agree with you, right, about what Jesus is speaking over you, what he is speaking over your children today, right? What he is speaking over your jobs and your finances and your marriages, because Jesus is speaking. He's speaking love, acceptance, hope. He's speaking possibility today. You know, it could be today that maybe there are some lies that you believed about yourself, right? And today is the day that that ends. Today is the day of freedom. Today is the day where you are set free from the attacks of the enemy, right? Today is the day that you just declare that I have the mind of Christ. I can walk in the mind of Christ, right? It could be that today you're sitting here and you do have some big decisions to make. There's some things coming up this week or in this next month, and you don't have the answers. But let me tell you who has them. Jesus has the answers. We want to agree with you today for the wisdom you need to take those next steps. We want to agree with you today for the knowledge you need to make every decision that comes your way. It could be today that you're a dad and you're sitting here and it is Father's Day, and maybe this day brings some regrets of some ways that maybe you responded to your children. Or you're sitting here today and you're someone who is carrying the weight of your father's mistakes. Well, today Jesus is wrapping his arms around you. He sees you. He sees everything that you have been through. And today is a day of forgiveness, of hope. You can be set free, taking new steps in his grace and in his love today. You know, maybe you're feeling great, or maybe you're just barely hanging on. I just want you to know that today is the day to respond, just like Zacchaeus responded, right? Today is a day that we can respond and say, you know what? I'm getting above the noise. I'm going to get above that anxiety. I'm going to get above that worry. And I'm going to set my eyes on Jesus. Today, I'm waking up to hope. I'm waking up to life. I'm waking up to freedom. And I'm waking up to possibility. Because Jesus knows your name and he loves you. So for all of us at any time in our days, here's what we can always do. We can wake up and position ourselves to see Jesus, because he sees you and he is calling your name today. So let's pray and then let's respond. Father, we just thank you today that you're seeking us out. Lord, we thank you that you have divinely aligned our path today, and you are meeting us where we are at. God, you know what we're walking through and what we are going through. You know the decisions that we have to make. You know the pain that we're carrying. And Lord, I just thank you today to help us to recognize all the moments when you're calling us closer. God, give us all the courage to silence the noise, to lock eyes with you and invite you into our hearts with excitement and joy. God, I thank you that you are calling us by name today. I thank you that you don't condemn us for our past, but you're speaking life over our present and our potential. God, help us today to reflect your love to everyone we encounter. Help us to position ourselves to see you and your love and your hope and your acceptance and your goodness. In your name we pray, amen and amen.